I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Europa League winners, Atletico Madrid, and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on a Thursday. It's his standard Monday appearance, but in this case on a Thursday, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this celebratory edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. For the third time since 2010, Atletico have won the Europa League. They did it with a 3-0 victory over Marseille in Lyon on Wednesday night. A comfortable win, a dominant display from Antoine Griezmann leading the line. He scored 2 goals. Gabby got the other as Atletico lived up to the favorites tag and coasted to a Europa League crown. We'll talk about how they did it, how Atletico won the Europa League after dropping into that competition from the Champions League group stage, and we'll debate what this trophy means. Yes, it's obviously major silverware, Atletico's first since 2014, but does winning the Europa League really signify the growth that Diego Simeone talks about so often? And where do Atleti go from here? We'll answer Colt Gennaro Chat amigo questions from patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat to that effect. Will Griezmann stay? Will Jan Oblak stay? What to do with the defense? Lots of questions to be answered, and we'll do our best to do just that. Answer them. Plus, we'll have a mini preview of Sunday's match. Yes, there is still one more league game to be played. It's at home against Eibar. Atleti need just 1 point, a single solitary point, to clinch second place and finish ahead of city rivals Real Madrid. But before we get into all that good stuff, make sure to subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. Really helps us out, gets more eyes and ears on the show. In addition, if you want a guaranteed answer to your question, head over to patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat and become Colt Gennaro Chat amigo. Not only will you get a guaranteed answer to your question, to your query, but you'll also get access to our weekly bonus pods, our rumor roundups. Last week's was available for all listeners. Next week, it'll be available for Colt Gennaro Chat amigos only. patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
Let's do it. We are going to talk all about the 2018 Europa League final. Marseille 0, Atletico Madrid 3, a third Europa League crown since 2010.
We did it. We did it. And we did it in the least stressful fashion possible. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was really strange to watch Atletico in a final and not feel like you were going to throw up at any point.
And the beauty of not having to hold on to a 1-0 lead throughout most of the match, that was so, so wonderful.
It was. Other than the first 15, 20 minutes or so, this really was quite comfortable for Atletico. They really were just a cut above Marseille, just totally outclassed them, really. And I thought the 3-0 scoreline really did it justice. I mean, Marseille, other than the Valerie Germain chance in the fourth minute that you kind of knew would come back to haunt them.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that miss, they never really got close. Mitroglou hit the post about 10 minutes to go with the scoreline already at 2-0. And then, you know, less than 10 minutes later, Gabby gets the third. Gabby scored in a European final.
My God. Of all the people that could have scored, I would not have guessed Gabby would end up scoring.
His first goal since August 2015.
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I love it that it was him that got that third goal. But I totally agree. I think the only nervy time for me was that period before the first goal. But after that, I really felt a lot more comfortable.
After that first goal, is the wind went out of the Marseilles, if you see what I did.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I spent all night thinking of that one.
At least you're honest about that.
and then after Payet went off, it just was a completely different team.
That was huge.
They were just very defeated after Payet went off. I did feel bad for him, but at the same time, this is a European final. You have one job, and that's to win.
And he did the thing that you're not supposed to do.
So he touched the trophy.
Can't do that, man. Come on, look. I'm no advocate for superstition, but you gotta be a little bit superstitious. Otherwise, you know, these things may happen to you. But I'm just saying.
I'm not saying, but
I'm just saying. I have no proof, but you never know.
Let's go through the goals here.
Yes.
21st minute. It's out of the back. Marcelo trying to build up an attack. Steve Mandanda passes to Anguissa. It's a really awkward pass. Anguissa can't quite control it, but Gabby is right there, right place, right time. Flicks a volley up into Griezmann's path, perhaps unintentionally, but Griezmann's there. The center backs are split because Costa's also running. He's unmarked to Griezmann's left. So what does Griezmann do? Just slides it past Mandanda to open the scoring.
Such a cool finish. Such a cool finish.
Ice cold.
Absolutely. And it was actually, even though it may have been unintentional, it was a beautiful pass by Gabby. Whether it was intentional or not, it was very nice.
On the volley, no less.
Lovely, lovely. And just put Griezmann through beautifully. And like you said, Costa was dragging the center backs out of position all night long. So that made a big difference for Griezmann getting these two goals.
Yep, and you get the second one in relatively similar fashion. It was another counterattack, a 1-2 with Griezmann and Koke. Griezmann breaking into Mandanda's left. Costa, again, unmarked, running alongside Griezmann. Griezmann just delicately chips the keeper to make it 2-0, and that effectively puts it away on 49 minutes.
Gotta love a dink. Everyone loves a dink.
And I initially thought it might have like just missed, and Costa would have to tap it in.
Yeah.
I thought he might have just not shanked it, but he might have just like underhit it. But right. it did bounce in. I still think he should have squared to Costa. It would have been the better decision to square to Costa, but he scored the goal nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you score the goal, you can't really take too much issue with it. But, right. Yeah, it was a good finish, and he had the confidence going, so fair play.
And then, in the 89th minute, Gabby seals it. Another counterattack. Tomas initiated counterattack. He had just come on as a substitute.
Yeah.
Gabby unmarked along the right, calls for it. Koke slides it over to him, and Gabby takes his time. A slick right-footed finish as the firecrackers go off behind him, 3-0.
It was a great finish, really. I mean, right in the bottom corner. And he hit it with a bunch of power as well. So it was actually quite a good goal for a man that doesn't score too many.
And so calm, too. Again, his first goal since August 2015 in a league game against Sevilla, which also was a 3-0 win for Atletico.
He does love an important goal, does our captain.
Yeah, I think I said on one of our preview pods at the start of the season that Gabby would score this season, and he would score a super important goal.
Well, I mean, it was a very good goal. You know, didn't have a huge impact on the outcome of the match, but it was in a huge game, that's for sure.
10 months later, I have been validated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a pretty bold prediction since he hasn't scored in 3 years, but it worked out.
And that was all she wrote. Atletico really deserved winners of the Europa League. And Gabby and Torres lifted the trophy. Fernando Torres leaves Atletico with a title, his first in red and white. And that was, I think, the most special part of this out of the win was that Torres gets his title.
Absolutely, absolutely. He deserved it. He wasn't at Atletico when they were at their strongest, so I'm glad that he got a little bit of it. He had a chance at the first part of his comeback, but I'm glad he got over the line there at the end. That was a really beautiful moment, and you could see how much it meant to him, so that was really lovely.
Yeah. He was just cradling the trophy like it was, you know, a newborn.
Yeah, and he was the one that took it over to the Atletico fans in the corner as well.
Yeah. The celebrations were great. Juanfran and Sal both got on the megaphone.
Of course.
Juanfran out here throwing shade at Real Madrid. Let the Vikings know who rules the capital and so on.
Yep, I'm sure they're going to have a big old parade. And just like the 2014 title parade, I'm sure it's going to be a huge party. A huge party. So I'm looking forward to seeing pictures from that.
Neptuno on Friday. If you're anywhere near Madrid, get there. It's going
to
be lit.
It is almost certainly going to be very, very lit. Lit like the Leon Stadium was for most of that match.
Yes, it is going to pop off.
As it were, yes, indeed.
But no, the yes, you mentioned Lyon and the stadium. It was a really good atmosphere, although Atletico supporters were pretty fairly outnumbered, not too surprising. They still made a lot of noise, though, as can be expected with this particular fan base.
Yeah, to be fair to Marseille, two very good fan bases that make a ton of noise. I'm not a huge pyro kind of guy. I mean, I think it looks cool, but it really sucks when you're watching it on TV and it looks like it's more of a 420 festival than a football match. But, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, it was a really good atmosphere. And I kind of thought back to Atleti's first Europa League game of this run in Copenhagen. And just wondering, pondering just how much better the atmospheres were at each Europa League ground Atletico went to as compared to the Champions League, and just how different the atmosphere and the ambiance was at each ground they played in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was Jonathan Wilson wrote an article about the Europa League, how it felt a lot. It really did feel more genuine and more like what real football it is or should be, or what it used to be, rather.
Yeah, I think he said it's what the European Cup used to be like.
Right, exactly. Kind of teams that you may not know that much about. I mean, certainly we played teams through the competition that I knew almost none of the players. And that's super cool. I love that.
I just lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, words agreed. And things, yes.
Agreed. But overall, looking back on the totality of this run, which of course ended in style in France last night, Atletico never really were bothered, were they? You had perhaps individual moments. The most nervous I got was during the second leg against Sporting, because it always felt like Sporting were very close to getting that second goal. And if they'd scored that away goal at the end of the first leg through Freddy Montero, they would have advanced. That was probably about as nervous as I got. There were moments during the first leg at Arsenal.
Yeah, I think the red card made that one a little bit more nervous, that first leg.
Yeah, because you kind of wondered, okay, if Arsenal get a second or a third here, then it's really over.
Yeah, the Sporting tie was close as well. It actually really wasn't that stressful of a run for Atletico, I don't think. I don't think really at any point there was never any sort of desperation or real worry. I don't think.
And they played just about a perfect game in the final.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did. They played the game they wanted to play, 43% possession, and yet a 3-0 win with three goals from four shots on target. Oblak only had to make a couple saves. Was never really that close to being beaten. The Germain chance was good, but Germain really scuffed it, and Mitroglou hit the post with the match already basically decided. Atletico were excellent in the air. You had Saul winning 9 aerial duels, Diego Costa winning 6, Diego Godin winning 6, just big-time performers stepping up when the team needed them. It really was the perfect way to end this competition and Atletico's first trophy since 2014.
Yep, absolutely. And it was a very convincing and very deserved win, I thought. In the final, that Germain chance, that was really it for Marseille. I know Mitroglou hit the post, but that really wasn't even that good of a chance. I thought he was kind of fortunate to get his header on target. But yeah, it was a really great day yesterday. That was a lot of fun.
Over the course of the Europa League knockouts, Atletico outscored their opponents 20-4.
That's not bad for a team that apparently aren't very entertaining.
Yeah, 20-4 over the 9 games, lost only 1 the second leg in Lisbon.
Yeah, that's right. And, I don't know if we really want to go too much into the referee, given that it didn't end up mattering, but I thought it was a pretty horribly refereed match as well. I just want to put that out there.
I didn't think Kuipers was too bad. He didn't really screw up. Like, he didn't miss a handball, or he didn't miss...
My complaint was more to do with the vast amount of fouls that Marseille were committing, especially in the second half. and yet there was very little yellow cardage going on. In fact, Atletico ended up with more yellow cards, which I think is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, Luis Gustavo should have been sent off.
Absolutely.
He was doing madness.
Absolutely.
Clinton Enge as well was on a very thin line.
Also had the most hilarious miss in the history of football. When he tried to volley it with the outside of his right boot, and I think it almost went out for a throw-in. That was pretty beautiful.
It did go out for a throw-in, and he didn't even make it to the corner flag.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I couldn't even contort my foot in that way to make that happen.
I don't know what he... I mean, I see he was trying to score, like, the greatest goal of all time, but, like, you're 2-0 down in a final. Just put it in the back of the net. Don't worry about how pretty it is.
Right, just shoot the ball, you know?
Yeah. Don't try to volley it with the outside of your boot. It's just you're not that kind of player.
It also just shows that a team with Adil Rami starting in defense just cannot prosper.
Turns out he's not so good. But I think anyone that's watched La Liga probably has known that for quite a few years now.
And the
Payet thing was a shame. It was sad to see him go off in all seriousness. He's quite a good player, and especially for their captain to go off so early, that really hurt them. And I think that, in conjunction with Atletico scoring the first goal just a few minutes before, that totally... I think from that point on, the match was over.
Yeah, I mean, Marseille just... They had no way to break Atletico down, especially when they had 66% possession in the first half. It was just very comfortable. And you didn't really see that moment of inspiration from anyone. I mean, Florian Thauvin was kind of nowhere. Germain missed his huge chances. We talked about Lucas Ocampos didn't play very well. Inge came in off the bench and really wasn't very good. They just didn't have much creativity after Hyatt went out, and it sucked for them. But you know, this is a final. If it happens in the final, it's unfortunate. It sucks, but it is what it is.
Yep. Absolutely, absolutely, and I think Payet going off was crucial because he is a excellent set piece taker, and Atleti have been super vulnerable at set pieces this whole year, so I think him not being there to take their set pieces, not that they really had that many, but, you know, it would have made a big difference, I think.
Yeah, it definitely would have been. I think the big thing for me was just how much better Atletico were than Marseille.
Mm, yeah.
But it shouldn't have... Honestly, it may not have... Let me try to phrase this properly, but it perhaps shouldn't have come as a surprise. I mean, Atletico were the heavy favorites to win the Europa League since they dropped down into the competition, even before they dropped into the competition. I just got to say, thank you, Karabakh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because without you, Atletico wouldn't have won a trophy this year.
It's true. It's true. And that Champions League group stage sucked so bad. This made it worth it.
Hey, this is a top 8, top 10 team on the continent that's playing in the Europa League.
Mm, absolutely.
I mean, it's not fair. The odds are stacked against everybody else because Atletico are much better than everybody else in this competition now.
I mean, I don't really think it's hyperbole to say that, if they had started off the season with Diego Costa and Vitolo, then I think it's definitely possible they could have made a run to the quarter or semifinals of the Champions League rather than the Europa League. So it's really, they were far, far overpowering all the other teams of the competition. I mean, if they had played Red Bull Salzburg in the final, it would have been even more of a blowout, I think.
I mean, they ran up a plus 16 goal difference in 9 Europa League games. That's nearly a margin of victory, nearly 2 goals per game.
And
they were dominant.
And especially the Copenhagen and Lokomotiv ties were just extraordinarily lopsided, I thought.
Oh yeah. Especially that second leg in Moscow with the 5-1.
That was unbelievable.
The first leg in Denmark was 4-1 win. So that kind of distorts the numbers a tad, but the first leg against Sporting Atletico were very good most of that game. The second leg against Arsenal, Atletico were never really threatened despite seeing out a 1-goal lead, but Atletico were never really challenged by Wenger's men. And then you have the final where they were just really excellent and put in a performance worthy of winning the trophy.
Yeah, I mean, I realize this is going to be quite biased coming from me, but I mean, I think Arsenal were the best team they played, and even in that instance, they clearly had a lot more quality than Arsenal did.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they were absolutely the best team in the competition. There's no doubt about it. But that being said, how many times have we seen really good teams in the Europa League absolutely do terrible? So it was certainly not a given that they were to get to the final and then win it. So they deserve a ton of praise, even though they were the favorites.
Yeah, you had Arsenal make it to the semifinals. Napoli were out in the round of 32. Dortmund were out. Were they out in the round of 32 as well?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Napoli were tanking, though, to try to win Serie A, which they...
That didn't work out.
No. You had some other good teams in there as well that just didn't quite make it or got drawn into... I mean, Milan were a good example. They had a bad draw against Arsenal.
Right. That made a huge difference that a lot of the good teams went out quite early. But hey, this is what happens, and I think that shows. I mean, a lot of the big teams like Dortmund and Napoli, though they were tanking, they weren't playing that strong teams, but they still went out. So clearly, the same could have happened to Atletico if they weren't taking these ties seriously.
Right. Like, I'm not a believer in you have to play the best to what you have to beat the best in order to be the best. You give me the fourth place team in Andorra 7 days a week. Over, you know, someone like Real Madrid or someone like Bayern.
Right.
Or as far as Europa League is concerned, over like Dortmund or Napoli or Arsenal. You play who's put in front of you. And I don't care if that team is from Andorra or Moldova or Crete, wherever. I don't care. They could be from Mars. I don't care. As long as you beat who's in front of you, then you should be good. And that's what Atletico did throughout this run. And again, just very deserved Europa League winners. That's about where that discussion ends.
I think so. It's strange that there's so little to talk about a final. I mean, it really was that kind of cut and shut. Atletico were the better team. They were better coached. The subs were better. The players are better. The system is better. That's about the size of it.
Antoine Griezmann etching his name into club lore. He becomes the third Atletico forward to notch a brace in the European final. He joins Diego Forlan and Radamel Falcao as the Atletico forwards to do so. Forlan, of course, did it in the 2010 Europa League final. Falcao 2 years later. All three players did it in wins as well. Griezmann finishing the league with 6 goals, scored against everyone Atletico played. He was truly dominant against Marseille. I think he's probably my mattress maker of the match, but Gabby is right behind him. Koke was also excellent with 2 assists.
Yep. I thought everyone played well. I mean, maybe with the exception of Correa, but I think everyone was excellent. I don't think anyone really put in a bad performance.
Yeah, Versal wasn't very good, but that was remedied at halftime. Juan Fran came on and was very steady. He put in the kind of experienced performance that you need in this kind of game, and it's not a very good look for Versal either, coming off at halftime.
Yeah, that was confusing to me. I didn't know if that was as a result of him getting kind of brutalized at the end of the first half there, as well as being booked. But whatever the reason, whether it was performance or injury or his booking, I think it was absolutely the right decision.
Yeah, it seemed it was just performance-based because he didn't appear injured at all in the post-match celebrations.
Yeah.
Not great for Versalco, but Juan Fran did his job. I kind of wish Torres would have gotten a few more minutes than just the 1 minute he got. And apparently it was Griezmann who requested that Torres be brought on in his place, which was a very nice thing for him to do.
Which is crazy, considering he was on a hat-trick. And could have quite conceivably got it as well.
He probably could have, the way things were going.
Yeah.
Really probably could have.
So that's a very, very good look. Very good look.
Costa just worked his socks off.
Oh, unbelievable.
Insane work rate. He deserved a goal. I thought he deserved a goal, but he won't be too unhappy at the 3-0 win in the final.
So. No, he was beaming after the game, so I don't think he was too bothered that he didn't get on the score sheet. But you're absolutely right. I mean, he put in a shift. He worked harder than anyone on the pitch and got fouled about a million times. So it all worked out for Diego. I agree, though. I would have liked him see him get on the score sheet. But beggars can't be choosers. I'll take the three we got.
This kind of leads into a couple Colchonero Chat Amigo questions.
All right.
From patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. Mark Lemke says, "Hey guys, what a way to cap off the year. I guess my main thing is what will happen this summer. I know it looks like Griezmann will leave. You think he and Oblak might stay another year to push for the title? When they do leave, what's the plan for life after they have departed? Who would you love to see come and join?" So Griezmann is obviously, he's taken over the headlines all year, and last year, and the year before, but expected to be ratcheted up even further with the World Cup, World Cup coming, and the player himself saying that I want my future decided before the World Cup. So does Griezmann stay, do you think? Do you think there's any way this convinces him to stay?
Not really, to be honest. I'd really like it if he did, but I'm not optimistic about that. I still think he's probably going to go to Barcelona, but I don't really know what about the Europa League would really prove to him that he can stay. I mean, I guess it is important for this young group of players to win a trophy together, in addition to some of the older guys that are going out, but I don't think that's enough to move the needle for me.
I'm a little more optimistic, but still, the most likely course of action he's going to take is he's going to go to Barcelona.
Yeah.
That's the most likely thing he's going to do. The Madrid press is saying he's still undecided. Of course, the Catalan press is already talking about it as if it's a done deal. Like, the move has already been official. Has already been made official. But I the club has grown this year. Yeah, you could say, okay, yeah, they dropped into the Europa League. They were playing in the Champions League final 2 years ago. The Champions League semifinal 12 months ago. Like, okay. But to win this trophy and do it, not only that they won it, but it's the way they did it, by simply overpowering everyone they played. Atletico used to not be able to do that. In the Champions League, they still don't really do that.
Well, they showed that they're too good for the Europa League, which I think is really big. Yeah.
They were simply better than everybody else, which, yeah, we knew that. As I mentioned, they are one of the eight to ten best teams on the continent, and they're playing in second-tier competition. It's almost expected they were going to win it if they tried, and they did. But to me, that represents growth. That represents Simeone's talked about this a lot, that the club is growing. Players who weren't playing this time last year are big parts of the team, thinking about Lucas, Tomas. They are Jimenez as well. Those are guys who have matured and stepped up and all played in a European final on Wednesday night. So that signifies that this team has done a lot. There's been a lot of development that's gone on here. And that's essentially is what's going to amount to a pitch to Griezmann, is that there's good things going on here. You can be a part of it. You can be the leading light, the star man, or you can go to Barcelona and just be one more and basically become a mercenary. That's the choice he has to make. And that's the choice Atletico are going to offer him, in addition to, you know, a huge pay rise.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you can see from I can see it from both ways. I mean, clearly Griezmann and Simeone have an excellent relationship. They complement each other very well. And now, having won his first trophy with Atletico, I think that will certainly make him feel better. But I think he's either going to go to Barcelona or he's going to stay. I don't really see any other alternatives at this point. But I'm still leaning more towards that he's going to leave. I feel fairly confident that Atletico will be able to hold on to Oblak this summer.
I'm definitely more confident about Oblak, and they do want to renew his contract. About damn time.
Yeah, really.
Kilmaine said it yesterday that they want to renew his contract. They want to bump his release clause. Kilmaine saying that we want him to stay, and we know he wants to stay. So if those talks go smoothly, then I definitely don't see. Even if they don't go smoothly, I don't know who's going to pay Oblak's buyout clause. Who's going to pay $100 million for him?
Yeah, the only team that can afford it is under FFP investigation. So
yeah, we talked about this on a bonus pod. A few weeks back. Like, PSG are gonna have to sell a bunch of players this summer anyway. I don't think he would go to Arsenal. That's a step down. And Liverpool, I think, are pretty comfortable with Loris Karius.
Well, and Arsenal, I don't think, have the money, frankly.
Yeah, even then, Arsenal's purse is so tight, they wouldn't sanction that sale anyway, or that purchase anyway.
Right, right. And I think a lot of teams would be wary to pay $100 million for a goalkeeper, and I don't think Atletico are going to budge from his release clause, as they should not.
No, unless there's a really great player and part exchange. Even then, Oblak is the best keeper on the continent, and the player has to be a downright superstar for even Atletico to consider it.
Absolutely, and Atletico, it's easy to forget, but Atletico paid a lot of money for Oblak. That was a big risk, and it paid off handsomely.
He was the most expensive goalkeeper in La Liga when they bought him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he still might be. But regardless, I'm more confident about Oblak staying than I am Griezmann. And if it had to come down to one or the other, I would pick Oblak anyway. Not anything against Griezmann, but I would pick Oblak anyway, because goalkeepers like him don't grow on trees.
Yeah, I think it would be easier to replace Griezmann. They're both world-class players, don't get us wrong, but I agree with you. I think it's harder to find a world-class goalkeeper these days, even though Atleti do have a pretty solid track record of producing both really good strikers and really good goalkeepers.
Yeah, and that said, Griezmann is a great player, especially when he tries, which he has done most of the second half of this season. And, of course, the preference is to keep him, and Atletico are terrified of losing him, so they're going to do all they can. In terms of who would we love to see come and join, that's a tough one, because there's more options to replace Griezmann than there are for Oblak. As far as Griezmann goes, Anthony Martial would be a wonderful fit. Ousmane Dembele would as well, if they can work out a deal where Griezmann goes to Barcelona and Dembele comes in on a one-year loan. It's not realistic, but that would be awesome.
Yep, that would be nice. That would be nice. I'm trying to think. There's so many different options, and it's hard to know what's realistic, what players are for sale, what players would be interested in coming, et cetera, et cetera.
It's tough because the market, the window hasn't even been opened yet. But Martial, I think, would be an excellent fit. I'm a believer in what Rodrigo Moreno has done this year. I know you're not. I am a believer in what he's done this year. And I think if the price is right, he could be a really nice complement to Costa. Cavani's a very different kind of forward, but we talked about this before. I would welcome him.
Yep, me too. I sort of have the suspicion that Atletico are gonna kind of do the bargain hunting thing. I'm not totally convinced they're gonna go out and get another big name, considering the money they spent in the last window, as well as all the stadium nonsense. I'm not totally convinced that they're gonna spend a ton of money in this window. But we will see. That's all speculation at this stage.
Yeah. It's regardless, it's going to be a really interesting summer. We have a follow-up to that from Sporting Gijon. This is right up your alley, Rob. Mm. I honestly can't remember the last time I heard an announcer trash the victor so much in a championship game.
Yes.
What a buzzkill.
Yes.
3 goals, Lala.
I
knew that would appeal.
Oh, God, yes. I was fairly incessantly tweeting about Alexi Lalas, who, for our non-American listeners, he's terrible. Be glad you don't have him.
He is Fox Sports One's top color commentator for football. I personally, I'm going to withhold my opinion. Actually, Rob does not like him. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, I will quote Jamie Carragher, who said he's lucky to be in the booth. And we can just leave it at that.
But anyway, Sporting Gijon wonders what we think of the state of Atletico's defense. We all know about the endless number of clean sheets, but there have been moments of concern. Mm. Some excellent chances that simply Arsenal and Marseille failed to take advantage of. This year has shown that this defense is still great, but also different. Do you agree? I think we would have a lot more furrowed brows if Oblak wasn't secretly a god. That's true.
That is definitely true.
What to do about an aging Juan Fran, a deficient Savage, and Chime Brasalico, who apparently thinks it's never too early to get a booking in a big game.
Wow, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Basically, what do we do about Atletico's defense? My solution is pretty easy. Keep Oblak.
Yeah, and my and to add on to that, I would say start Hosema and Lucas together and bring Godin off the bench if you need someone.
And I think we're probably going to see that more often than not next year. Maybe Simeone won't be that aggressive phasing out Godin.
No,
but
he won't.
Jimenez is going to play every week. He has shown since the turn of the year that he deserves to be playing week in, week out over Stefan Savic. I wouldn't even mind a Jimenez Savage pairing, but Jimenez needs to be out there every week.
I would mind a Jimenez and Savage pairing. but I think Lucas and Jimenez are sensational prospects. And I think Lucas has done well to play left back this year, and I'm going to be a little bit unhappy if he plays a lot there next year, because he's not really a left back. But
he's not. And Atletico are going to buy another fullback, and
yeah,
whatever they get out of Felipe next year, they'll take it.
Yeah.
Felipe's turning 33. He recovered from a broken leg, but he still did break his leg, and he didn't play on Thursday. So I wonder what ramifications that will have looking forward. My preference is, of course, Jimenez and Lucas in the center, followed closely by Jimenez and Godin. But regardless, Jimenez has to be one of the first names on the team sheet next year. He has shown that he can take control and be just a star in this defense. So you keep Oblak, you start Jimenez every week. Possibly consider giving Lucas more time at center back and resting Godin a little bit more aggressively. And you go find another fullback. I don't think they need to worry too much about Rusalico. It's been an up and down year for him. He did just renew his contract. And when he's on song, he's a very good fullback. So I think they'll stick with Frisalka, but they'll give him competition. They will go out and they'll get someone like Johnny, who we've talked about. They'll go out and find another fullback, preferably with La Liga experience, to challenge Felipe and Frisalka.
Yeah, I would sort of anticipate, as much as none of us want to see it, I would anticipate a kind of Juan Fran-style season from Felipe next year.
Possibly.
I think that it's very possible that he maybe takes a step back, given the severity of the injury he had and how old he is at this point. I would love to see him get back to his best, but I'm a little bit pessimistic about that.
I think he enters next season as the starter.
Yes, I think so too.
He enters next season as the starting left back, and Jimenez and Godin will probably be the starting center back pair. And
he'll definitely right, Felipe will absolutely get a chance to prove he can't do it anymore. We'll know one way or the other.
Gabby didn't have a great year. He still played 49 times.
Yeah, exactly.
So in all competitions. So Simeone, we've seen it with Simeone. He will ride his old guard until they just can't ride anymore. And you know, it's led them to a trophy this year. They won a trophy this year in part because of some old guard contributions, but a lot of contributions from the younger players who have taken steps and grown and developed while being mentored by guys like Gabby and Godin and Juan Fran and Felipe and so on.
Well, and shout out to another guy who will get a winner's medal and who deserved it because he played in the knockout rounds, Axel Werner. He did well when he had to deputize
yes.
for Oblak. So well done to him for winning his first professional trophy as well.
Yeah, started both legs against Lokomotiv, kept a clean sheet in the first leg as part of an 8-1 aggregate victory. He was the netminder when Atletico recorded their biggest aggregate victory in this competition.
Not bad for a team that sold their backup goalkeeper at the last second, and then Oblak got injured. So yeah, so well done to Axel.
So, yeah, Werner had to play. Should we talk about Eibar at all? Because there is one more game left this season.
God, I know, it's so weird. It doesn't feel like there should be any more league games after a European final.
There shouldn't, but there is one more, and there may be one or two hungover players showing up for that game. That's my guess.
I don't think that is a bad guess. I think that is certainly a possibility.
Yeah, you have Neptuno Friday night, and then kickoff Sunday afternoon. It's not going to be a strong team. We know that going in.
Play the kids.
Yeah, the kids are going to get time. And it's probably not going to be a very good game, but Atletico do need just 1 point to finish above Real Madrid in the table and clinch second place. Yeah, there's no indication about what the team might look like yet. I doubt we're even going to really see it for Saturday.
Nah.
And maybe not even then, but
nah.
It's safe to say there will be some changes to this team. Like, I'm talking stuff like Werner might get the start.
Yep.
And like someone like Carlos Isak might play again, or Sergi Gonzalez might come in at fullback. There are going to be more Canteranos on the bench than first team players, most likely. So it will be lit.
Oh, it will be. Thing I'm most looking forward to for that game is the party atmosphere.
Yeah, it's going to be very celebratory, and if nothing else, that might help Atletico.
Yeah,
especially you know, keep the pressure off.
Yes.
You know, listen, finishing second place is still important.
Of course.
They've gone and won the Europa League, which they won a trophy, makes this a successful year. Finishing above Madrid, though, that has symbolic significance and would really show just how much this club has grown, how big the step has been over the past year.
Well, and that being said, Real Madrid are playing Villarreal, who are a good team, and they have the Champions League final a week after, so...
Yes, they're at Villarreal. Villarreal have already clinched the Europa League, clinched Europa League football for next season. This really what's to be determined is whether they finish fifth or sixth. I think they play Saturday at Las Vegas. So it's probably going to be another kind of rotated team from Zidane.
We will see.
If Real Madrid drop points, it doesn't matter what Atletico do on Sunday. If Villarreal get a draw or a win, it doesn't matter what Atletico do.
That's the thing. If they draw or lose, then it should be all Canteranos. Screw it. Play everyone.
Yeah. Then there's no reason to play any first team players.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just play all the early kids.
You know, everyone who's going to the World Cup, get ready for the World Cup.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm going to go with a goalless draw on Sunday.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's probably what it's going to be.
It'll be like a goalless draw or like 4-3.
Yeah.
Either way.
Fair enough. I'll go for 3-2 then. We'll cover all the bases.
3-2. All right. Excellent. Well, Rob, we're gonna leave it there. Another great edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, a very celebratory edition of Colt Gennaro Chat.
Oh yes, absolutely. Everyone celebrate, be responsible, but celebrate hard.
And those of you who are going to Neptuno, send us pictures. Tweet us at Into the Calderon, at RWalk03, at JB Baron. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. Leave a rating and a review if you would be so kind. Helps us get more eyes and ears on the show. We will be back next week to recap the final league game and look ahead to the World Cup and to the transfer market. Until then.